Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
No, Ben.
No, he's got the holiday plops.
Holiday plops. He's off plopping in a foreign country.
Yeah, having a wonderful time in the sunshine.
Yeah.
And I'm very jealous of him at the moment. I really want to go on holiday.
I know, like, it's starting to get sunny now in the UK, which is nice. It is getting warmer, which is a very good thing, but it's taken flipping ages to do so. And will be even nicer in France right now, I'm sure.
I spent the weekend on the beach.
Yes.
And it was really nice.
The whole weekend? Did you go both
days? Well, I went on Saturday and then I was in the garden on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
But I was enjoying being outside. I was like, oh, it's like I'm on holiday. And then I went in the sea and I was like, nope, cold.
Yeah.
Cold and sad.
That's the thing. It's a cold sea here all year round. Mm-hmm. And also I saw the big spider in your garden. I saw your story on Instagram.
Yeah, there was a big spider and my cats were just kind of, my one cat just kind of lied on it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, look, Sparks, a spider, chase. And she was like,
kill.
I think I'll lie on it. Mm-hmm. And she just killed it by stomping it with her big fat ass.
Speaking of spiders, you did see yesterday, didn't you,
that Dead Island was... Yeah, there's a big one in the toilet downstairs next door. So I think that Dead Island 2's travel back with me, because he was there and then he was in here briefly and then I think he's gone back to there as
his
safe
it.
Space.
Don't see him, Dead Island 2, the spider.
But he's really big, so hopefully none of the lads will go in the toilet while we're recording and just take him outside, because that's his home, that's where he lives.
Is that what you want? Do you want me to remove
him? No, it's okay. As long as he stays in the top corner away from the toilet, I'm fine.
I don't mind the Dead Island 2 sorts of spiders.
Yeah, it's quite a big one actually.
Okay.
But it's not one of them like black horrible,
no, with
spooky
the thick
ones.
Legs. Yeah. I don't mind the spindly ones.
Yeah.
Well, we are sponsored each and every week on this podcast. Mm. Isn't that right, Ashton?
Yeah, by a very real video game sponsor.
Yeah, and you have got the ad read.
I do, yes. You guys may know, so at time of recording, there's a new game that's come out today. Mm-hmm. It's based on Gollum.
Yes.
Off of Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
And you also may have seen that people don't really like it that
much. It's not gone down that well, no.
And what they don't know is that it's actually a prank.
Right.
So, like, they released this game.
Yeah, okay.
And they were like, oh, all the nerds will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a prank.
Yeah.
And it's actually called Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Amazing. Yeah. I like that. It's brilliant.
It's just to get all, they're like, if we get all the nerds to buy it, we'll get the nerds.
Yeah.
No nerds here.
Gollum. If you buy a physical copy of it, can you actually like peel off the title Gollum and underneath it says
Gotham. And then if you like take the whole cover off, it's got that guy from the meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The D's Nuts man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad that that's a real thing, because that's brilliant.
Just kidding. It's actually not real.
Oh, what?
It's just called Gollum and they are charging £60 for it.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
We'll see how James is currently playing that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he thinks. Maybe he'll really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But most people haven't.
Yeah. I mean, at time of recording, I've seen is the release day trailer and it looks like not bad in the sense that, you know, they've made a good trailer for the game. Mm. But all of the reviews that are coming out like within the last an hour and a half, I think, the embargo broke.
Yeah.
They're all very bad. And then James, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll have streamed it mm-hmm. on our channel. So you'll be able to go
see what he thought live,
how good or bad
and in
it
person.
Is.
Mm. So yeah. Check that out. Anyway, we're not sponsored by Lord of the Rings Gotham, but we are sponsored by our patrons over at patreon.com/Team Triple Jump, where for as little as $1 a month, you can ask questions on this very podcast.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like Peter.
Just like Peter. And Blake Thomas as yes. well, who asked question one today. Heya, Bapperonis. Roots of Paca, a Stardew-inspired indie gem, was recently delisted from Steam due to a copyright disagreement. While they are certain things will be ironed out, what are your general feelings on the increased occasions of this type of thing happening? Does it make you trust digital media and digital-based launches less? And then in parentheses it says, luckily in this case, those who purchased can still play online and offline.
Yeah, so this situation isn't really a discussion of copyright per se, which is kind of a distinction that I think needs to be made. It's that Valve have a policy to remove a game if there is a dispute between the dev and the publisher.
Yeah.
If one of them says, you know, there's an issue with this, then Valve will take it down until that is resolved. Mm-hmm. But you've got a bit about the write-up, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, this is going to happened. Rock, paper, shotgun. So I'll try and skim through it rather than read the whole thing. But so Roots of Paca, it's a Stardew-inspired game. Yeah, thing, but yeah. set in the Stone Age, seemingly. Mm. It's been pulled from Steam following a dispute over the rights of the game between developer Soda Den and publisher Crytivo. Let me go through. We are sad to report that we have been engaged in a dispute with Crytivo over the rights to Roots of Paca, developer Soda Den said on Twitter. We worked hard to amicably resolve our issue with Crytivo internally, the statement continues. Instead of working with us to address the issue, Crytivo went to Valve and authorized them to remove Roots of Paca from Steam without our knowledge or consent. The publisher replied to the situation a few hours later with their own statement on Twitter, accusing the developer of abruptly cancelling their contract a couple of days after a successful launch. Crytivo were apparently involved with the project, quote, providing support and guidance for the last 3 years. But their statement reads, on April 27th, just 2 days after the successful release, we received an unexpected message from the Soda Den team informing us they were claiming to unilaterally rescind the contract we had worked under for 3 years, treating it as void. That would essentially nullify the revenue sharing agreement set out before release. Shortly after, they removed our access to the Steam page for our team, Crytivo continues. And according to them, there was nothing underhanded about the game's Steam removal, since Valve's policy is to remove a game from sale if there's a dispute between the parties. That's the long and short of it. There's a bit more to the article there, but that is basically what's happened here. So,
but essentially, obviously, it's a bit of he said, she said. But from what we've got in terms of like the information out there, the devs were like, thanks, you know, you've done the job of getting the game out. Nothing to do with you anymore.
Yeah,
no thanks.
Our contract. So.
And basically meant that if they, because of that, Crytivo would receive no mm-hmm. money for their work that they put in, which is kind of messed up
yeah.
on the devs' part. Kind of a crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
And quite, I think, if it's true, if that's what's happened, which I feel like Crytivo wouldn't just come out and say that if it wasn't fact, mm-hmm. it's like an insane thing to pull, because no one's going to want to work with you after you do that.
Yeah, if that literally is what's happened, which I almost want to believe that that's not what's happened, because that's just a ridiculous thing to actually do. If it's as straightforward as that, I mean, there might be so many more factors at play here. Maybe, for example, the developer has voided the contract because Crytivo have done something that they've said, well, you doing such and such a thing means that contract is void. So it might be more complicated. Mm. But if they've literally just had someone working with them as a publisher for 3 years, launched the game, and then gone, right, just so you know, we're voiding our contract now. We just are.
Yeah.
Then that's really messed up.
Absolutely unhinged.
It does actually say at the end, I should have mentioned this, that Crytivo say they're working closely with all parties, including Valve, to ensure Roots of Paca returns to storefronts. And meanwhile, Soda Den say that they are, quote, cautiously optimistic about its return while they continue to work on the game and its post-launch roadmap.
So it was taken down April 27th, I think, was when it was removed, and it's still not there
still
now.
Down,
I checked on Steam just to be like, I wonder if it's back up yet, and it's still not. So in terms of like the actual thing that happened, does it make you trust digital media and stuff less?
I don't know if it specifically makes me trust digital media or digital-based launches less. I don't know if that specifically is the issue here. It's maybe like more of an issue of like smaller studios or unproven studios. Mm-hmm. Like maybe if they've not established themselves as professional or reliable, then that's the thing that has happened here. You know, for example, if some much larger companies were doing a digital-only release of a game, I wouldn't in the back of my mind be worried, like, what if there's suddenly some kind of dispute with the developer and publisher? Like, that's probably less likely with the names that you know.
Mm.
But so arguably, it maybe would make me a little more cautious with like an indie release. Or, well, I guess with indie, at least you don't have an issue with publishers falling out because there isn't one if it's self-published. But, you know, like these smaller scale, new up-and-coming companies, perhaps. I don't know if specifically this instance really does, you know, affect my my trust in those people. But if it was to affect my trust in anything, it would be in smaller companies rather than digital as a medium in general.
A lot of it has to do with greed. And it's whether, like, this situation is either, like, did something happen which made Soda Den go, let's void the contract, or were they just like, we can get more money if we void the contract. Is that, that's the whole thing of, like, I don't, like you say, it's not going to make me question buying something on Steam or having it available to purchase. I mean, like they say, you can still play it if you've bought it.
Yeah.
But I just, like you say, think maybe unknown devs or publisher teams or like names we haven't heard of before, it does obviously spark that thing of, like, you're putting your trust in an unknown, and obviously if the game has come out and people are really enjoying it, you're less likely to be worried. But if it's a brand new dev, a brand new publisher, it does tend to kind of, like, I don't think I'd necessarily think of it most of the time. I'd be like, oh, this game looks good, I've never heard the devs before, let's give it a go. But then
really,
if I get spurned by something like this, then maybe it would, but I think it's not happening often enough for it to be an issue. And most of the time, these kind of situations are happening pre-release, so it's not necessarily an issue up, like, upon release once it's out there in the world. So
yeah, it's kind of an unusual case here that the game is launched, and then within 2 days, there's suddenly this dispute. Like, you would expect it probably to happen pre-launch if it was going to be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of time, if it's an actual copyright situation, normally it's things like the name or a certain aspect of the game, which is figured out very early on after the first kind of trailers or information is published.
Because the game is called Monster Energy Drink Adventures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gods and Monsters. Hey!
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to say
that. Monster Mash. Change the song name.
In a way, though, it reminds me of some reservations I have about crowdfunded games to a certain extent. Now, I know, depending on, like, where, like, how crowdfunding is being done, some of them have things in place where they say, well, if the game doesn't release, you get your money back. Some of them don't have that, but they make it very clear that, like, you know, there's every chance this game won't be finished. It's up to you if you want to fund it.
They're very transparent.
Yeah, it's normally very transparent. So that's, you know, you can't really argue with that too much. But, you know, it kind of reminds me a bit more of that, where you put your trust into a project that might just not come out based on the fact that it might not get funded or they might hit roadblocks along the way. Mm. So I'd be as wary of that as I would, you know, digital media in general, or more so. You know, I think just putting this on digital media, digital launches as a whole, is not necessarily applicable.
I still think it's mad that people keep donating to that game that's just been in, like, development for like 10 years and has made like over 4 million.
StarCraft.
Yeah. The people still put money into it. And I'm like, are you all right? Do you have too much money to spend on something?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder to what extent, like, I don't know much about StarCraft at all, other than loads of money has gone into it and development. But I wonder, at this point, is it actually just like a fully functional game? It's just not officially launched? Because if it is, that would explain why people are like saying, yeah, I'm going, you know, I'm investing in this. But, like, you know, it is strange that a game has been in development for 10 years, not launched, and people are mad about, like, as in wild about it, like, hell yeah, this StarCraft thing.
Whenever I think about, like, crowdfunding games, I always think of StarCraft. It's always like my first go-to of, like, well, we've seen what's happened before, and I trust it's not going to happen again. Anyway.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Blake, for your question.
Yes. Now it's time to do a segment that is brand new. We're trialing it while Ben wasn't here, because Ben wasn't really confident in this segment.
No,
he said,
but we
like,
think it's going to be great.
Well, I don't know if it's going to work. So we thought, well, while he's not here, let's try it.
Don't tell him.
What's it called, Peter?
It's called What We Play In.
Huh. It's What We Play In time. It's time to talk about what we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I've played a few things this week, but I haven't actually played the copy of Star Wars that I purchased last week, which I said I would do.
Yeah.
Because I've not really had, like, a session with which to dedicate. I want to like be able to sit down and play that for at least like 2 or 3 hours for my first chunk. And yeah. I've been snatching little bits of time for gaming this week because I've been quite busy. But I still have managed to play a few things in small doses. So some of my friends got together on, it wasn't on Zoom, but on online on a call on Sunday in the evening to play just a bit of Jackbox, which was fun. We're just catching up. I've only got pack 1 and 5, so I end up always playing the same games, and they didn't have any of them. But we played Fibbage, we played Drawful in pack 1, and then we played the rapping robot one in 5. What's that called?
Beat Something City?
Yeah, something verse. Something, I don't know. And the one where you do a pitch on like a serviette thing.
Oh,
like a
napkin, yeah.
You know the one?
Yeah.
But yeah,
is
so.
Is that patternly stupid, that one?
Yes, yeah, that one, yeah. So we had a good time playing that. That was nice to catch up with people. It's so easy just to like, you know, because some of these friends who, you know, I don't get to like speak to that often because they're around the country and stuff. They're not like super into games, but it's just easy to. Something like that, you can play with your mum or your grandma or your friends who don't like games. So it's great to have Jackbox. So played a bit of Jackbox. Then on Monday on stream, I finished Bramble. Mm-hmm. And I've since just gone and played it all the way through once more to kind of like see what I missed. And, you know, there's like a few like collectible statues and things in that. Man, that game like really got quite brutal and almost gratuitous in places. Like
really?
I was almost like kind of rolling my eyes and like shaking my head on stream. Well, I think I actually was. There was like a bit with an actual dead baby in it.
Oh.
And you just had to bury this dead baby.
Oh.
So you're going through this chapter, and the kind of the boss of the chapter is this evil witch or midwife, or there were two different characters in this chapter, but basically this baby was in danger and you were trying to get there before it was killed as part of a sacrifice. And you get there and you manage to find the woman who's got it, and she's like, she ends up getting hanged on a tree because it's that kind of game, you know, it's kind of dark. And you're like, great, I've defeated the boss in this game, in this chapter, sorry. So presumably now the reward is, and well done, you saved the baby. Now let's move on to the next mission. No, the baby was just dead.
Oh.
And then the boy had to just bury it. And I was like, oh. That's really horrible and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't I have just saved it? But, you know, kind of felt like it was done for the sake of being, like, for the shock value. And then something else happened later on. Oh, yeah, he, like, just really brutally stabbed this, like, nymph thing to death in the face over and over again. And it was like, the camera was, like, looking up at him and he was, like, kneeling over it. And he was, like, crying. And he had to just keep pressing X to stab it in the face again and again. And it was like, you know, that's not, you don't have to like go to that level to make a game spooky or scary or like harrowing. You know, like the comparisons for Bramble are things like Limbo and Little Nightmares and Inside. And all of those games are spooky and gory and dark at times. But and Limbo actually is probably the closest thing in terms of like really like dark content. It's got like children in it and it's got people being hanged and chopped up and stuff. But at least it's presented in like 2D like monochrome and it's stylized. Like there was something about Bramble, the fact that it was all presented in 3D, like not photorealistic, but you know, semi-realistic graphics, that it just kind of felt like this seems like a step too far. So I don't know how I felt about that in the end, but I clearly didn't hate it enough to not go back and replay
mop
up a few collectibles. But that was something. And then I did a bonus stream on Wednesday and played some Lego 2K Drive. I always want to call it 2K Lego Drive, but it's not.
No.
I played a bit more of that last night. So that was yesterday at time of recording. And so I streamed it, and then I've been playing a bit more of that in my own free time. I knew that I would get some enjoyment out of that game, and I asked for a code when it was offered to us. But I didn't think that I would enjoy it as much as I have, which is great.
It looked pretty fun when I was watching your stream the other day.
It was, yeah. Well, I'll talk a bit more about it in a review corner in a moment, but that is what I've been playing. Oh. So what have you been playing, Ashton?
I've only played one thing this week.
Wow.
I've played Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I'm like on the like last mission now, mm-hmm. as in when I start it, like that'll be the end. But I've been going around and collecting everything on every planet.
Right.
Because as you go through, you unlock like map updates that mm-hmm. show you where everything is. And so I've been collecting all of the dots on my map to 100% each planet. But I have found out that my game is bugged.
Oh, no.
So I can't get all the trophies at the moment because there's like a bunch of bounties you have to do
right.
that you get given. And if the character that gives you the bounties gives you a certain one at the wrong time, she's supposed to give it to you at the end. And if she gives it to you halfway through, she just stops giving you bounties after that because she just thinks you've done them all.
Oh, no.
So, and then I did that. So I've just found out it's bugged. But apparently they know about it and they are going to fix
it. Right, they'll fix it.
So yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. I've enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find out what's going to happen. It's got a couple of twists and turns, a couple of really beefy boss fights.
Right.
There's one that Kieran said, I had to turn the difficulty down when I did it. And we were both a bit like, wonder what boss fight that is.
And you then, and Ben were. You?
Yeah. And then we got to the point where we found the boss fight and we were like, oh,
this is hard.
And I don't think I actually needed to. I think I could have done it on Padawan, but I just couldn't be bothered because I was like really, really close and then I died. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just going to put it on story mode just to do it. No one's going to tell me off. No one knows.
Well, now everyone knows.
Everyone knows, but that's okay.
And I want you all to tell Ashton off in the comments.
No, don't do that. But yeah, I've just played that. I'm probably going to finish that either tonight or over the weekend. And then next on my list is Planet of Lana, which came out this week.
Oh, yeah.
On Game Pass. And I've had my eye on it for a while, but it just kind of snuck out. I didn't see it, any info. And then I was like, it's out. And I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. But it's on Game Pass. So I'm going to give that a go at the weekend as well.
Nice.
I'm excited to play that.
Amazing.
So that's all I've played this week.
Wonderful.
Should we head over to Review Corner?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Oh, and here we are.
In Review Corner, cozy and safe and warm.
Moisturized in our lane.
Yes,
thriving.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
My crops are grown. Peter, what have you been playing this week?
Well, speaking of hashtag blessed, hashtag gifted. Because we were hashtag gifted a copy of Lego 2K Drive.
Which does make this a hashtag ad. However, no money was received for the game. We just got a copy of it. And due to ASA guidelines, we have to tell you that it's a hashtag ad, even though we didn't receive any money.
No, they've not paid us. They said, do you want the game? I said, yes, please. I'll talk about it.
Yes.
And that's all that's happened.
Yes.
So I'm about to talk about it now. Fortunately, I don't have to feel the need to say anything bad about it because I've had a really good time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get sent these things and we have to say, oh, unfortunately, I don't really like it. And that's a bit sad. But we do it anyway because we're professionals.
Yes.
But I don't have to now.
Because you like it.
Because I really like it. I knew that I would enjoy it to some extent because I quite like driving games, even though I don't play them that often. I do enjoy them when I do finally sit down and get hands-on with one. And, you know, Lego's fun. There's nothing wrong with a bit of Lego. And I knew that you could, like, build your own car and stuff like that. But I was pleasantly surprised by how much had been put into this game.
Yeah.
You know, having played not so long ago, Lego Worlds, was it called? Or maybe not.
Yeah, the one that was like it's not a Lego game in the way that we know Lego games. It was the kind of building one.
There's like these little dioramas, these like cubes, and you wander around and do little puzzles and stuff. And, you know, I played that thinking that looks like a nice little Zen experience. Mm-hmm. And it's all done in Lego, of course. But it kind of was... It almost felt like someone had just made a puzzle game and it happened to be Lego, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not enough just to have the Lego license. You have to like really make a decent game that like plays well. Like the building mechanics, for example, weren't very good in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was worried that might be the same thing here. It might be like an okay driving game. They've slapped some Lego on it and it's just fine. Actually, it was really fun. It had all the kind of like Lego humor that you get from something like the Lego Movie. Everyone has like a stupid punny name. You know, they're all called like Clutch or Racer or I don't know, Speed McCar Dude or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of like silly humor in it. You have an adorable little character called Stud, who is your kind of like robot helper. There are various costumes that you can put on. You can completely customize your car. All I did, because I kind of panicked and I was live and I hadn't been to the building tutorial, was stack a whole load of gray blocks on top of my car just to prove that you could do it and drive it around.
Yeah.
And then I immediately went back to one of the default cars. So actually, given that like I was going into this game knowing that that was one of the USPs in my mind, that you can build your own car, the fact that I had that much fun without even engaging in that thing that I was kind of getting the game for in the first place just shows how competent of a driving game it really is, because I didn't have to resort to the specific Lego USP to enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's just a really good driving game.
It's a bit like Forza in the way that you're just driving around a kind of open world.
Yeah,
and there's like races in the story, but there's other stuff that you can do as well.
Yeah, it reminded me of Burnout Paradise. That's probably the last game like that I've played personally. So yeah, there are various, it's like an open world but with like different kind of areas. So the first one was a kind of your classic Green Hill zone that a lot of games start with. And then I moved on to a like an Old West kind of canyon cowboy thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, it wasn't Old West. It was like a kind of a desert modern city, modern town. There's all kinds of events to do. So it's not just racing. So you will be doing like races against other competitors, but you can do things like just driving from point to point, going around collecting items for people and bringing them back. There was even a story mission that I did where I had to like defend these three towers from invading aliens by just driving around and knocking all the aliens over, or robots, sorry. So there's a surprising level of variety in there for a driving game. When I saw the objective come up saying like defend the towers or whatever they were called, I was thinking, how's this going to work? And then it was just a whole crowd of people to drive through. And I was like, yes, that does work. It handles really well. There's like the drifting feels like it's very easy to do, but there's like a decent kind of skill ceiling to it where I think like if you really like perfectly chained, because when you drift, you build up boost, you know, and then so you can build up your boost and then use all your boost to get a massive speed and then do another drift and just chain it all together. And I think if you really nail it, you would be able to do some really cool stuff and like absolutely whiz around these tracks. But I was only just winning each race, so it felt like very well balanced to me.
Yeah. And your vehicle changes, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So depending on whether you always have three vehicles equipped in your loadout. Yeah. One of them is like a roadster, one of them is off-road, and one of them is a boat. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens to you, if you like go off the road, you suddenly turn into like an ATV or something, like a quad bike. If you like drive off a ramp and land in a lake, you turn into a boat and it's all completely seamless. You don't lose any momentum. Mm. You just transform. So it works really well. You can even drift when you're in a boat as well. So I had a really good time. And it's nice that there are just loads of things that you can just very easily do driving around. And I really liked how seamless it was to start little side missions. Mm. So you literally just drive. You're driving along, going through the world, and you might see a quest over to one side. And it's indicated by like a big square that you can just drive through.
Yeah.
And the moment you drive through it, the quest just starts and the timer starts ticking. So you don't have to like pull up into a big sort of zone, hit the brakes and press start quest. You do that for some of the main missions or maybe all of them.
Mm.
But if you're just driving around trying to do like little odds and ends, it's nice not to have it like stop, start all the time. So I think they've really thought about this. They've like put a lot of effort in and it's come out really well, like surprisingly good. And I'm going to keep playing it at home. And this might be a little bit of a wild card for one of my top five games of the year.
Ah.
It's a bit early to say so.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking about other stuff I played this year, there is, you know, there's some competition, but
You're really enjoying it.
It's just been a bit of a surprise, you know, top quality game. So, yeah, I'm having a great time.
Wow. There we are then. There's a little bit of about Lego 2K Drive.
Yeah.
Should we go back to the podcast?
Let's do it.
Now it's time for question two.
It is.
That comes from Kathleen Coulier.
Whoa.
Hello, BAP. I read an article recently, link below. Hey, this is a piece of paper. Where Sarah Bond from Xbox stated that they are considering in-game advertising and timed slices as a means of income generation moving forward. What are your thoughts? As an Xbox fan and early adopter of Game Pass, I'll be annoyed if they start introducing ads to a service I've already put hundreds of pounds into. Thank you, Kat. P.S. I'm loving the new format of questions. Helps me keep informed about the industry. So thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Kat.
I've seen a couple of comments saying people like the new format, which is, I like that.
We're glad. We're happy about that.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, essentially what they've kind of been saying is that they're looking at other ways to add, like, to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first it was like pay to play, and then it was free to play, and now it's Game Pass. And we're just looking at new ways that developers and publishers can monetize their games, which gives me the ick. That gives me the ick, Sarah.
Right.
And they're like, no one really knows what timed slices means.
They've not actually said what that is. No. So people are just speculating now.
Yeah, articles are kind of like, what does it mean? She didn't say.
Mm.
But from what my main, like, first instinct was that either it's like timed advertisements that are in, like, it's unskippable ads.
Right.
Or it's you can pay to play the game for, like, 12 hours
yeah.
and then pay again if you want to play more.
Well, because people talk about when you see, you know, really cool E3 demos and trailers for games that are supposed to be in development and not finished yet, and it looks like it's really well polished. It's called a vertical slice, and they say, like, hey, here's like a little bit of the game that we've, like, made look really good for a trailer. Mm. Everything else, all the other levels are just gray boxes. We're not finished yet. But they call it a vertical slice. And so slice makes me think of, like, it's a chunk of game. Mm. Maybe it's a demo. You have a certain amount of time to play it. Or maybe, as you say, maybe it's just the game,
yeah.
but it's just timed.
Which I would hate. Don't do that.
Yeah, because then you'll feel obliged to, like, oh, I could get a time slice and maybe play through the whole thing really quickly, or yeah. I could just purchase it in a normal way and not have the time to play. But so it could be some kind of, like, paid demo, maybe kind of equivalent to a rental, which I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's like, it's always good to have options. Like, if that was introduced as just a new way that you can feasibly play a game and pay to experience a game, then that's okay if it doesn't take away from anything else. If it doesn't supersede free demos like we sometimes get from people like, you know, Capcom or whatever. I know we're talking about Xbox here, and that's not a first party. You know, this will be first party stuff. But, you know, it's nice to have demos, and they've kind of made a bit of a comeback, I think. Like, there was definitely a period of time where demos weren't as much of a thing. So if time slices kind of overtakes free demos, that would be a bit of a sad thing. As for in-game ads, I don't know how I feel about that. It would depend partly how they were presented.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, certain games have sponsorships, and you'll see, like, a Monster Energy drink in your Death Stranding. For
well, the
example,
Lego driving game has had a McLaren billboards and stuff.
And there has been, like, for a very long time, sponsorships in games. And there was that one story about the developers that were forced to put a bunch of billboards in their game, so they made it a trophy to smash every sponsored billboard.
Right.
And, you know, these things have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. These aren't new. But the way that they're talking about, like, it as if it's new is the thing that's concerning to
me. Yeah, because, like, not doing it in the traditional way.
Yeah, because that makes me go, okay, so if we're, like, adding in-game advertisements outside of what we've already got, how is that going to work? Are we going to have unskippable adverts as we try and boot up the game?
Yeah.
But as the developer and publisher, things come up, also, so does an advert? No, thanks.
Well, did you see what happened recently with Warner Brothers in... I think it might be the most recent Mortal Kombat game that some people have recently gone back to because they know that there's the new one coming out. So there's been a bit of a resurgence in one of the previous games. Apparently now when you boot it up, on the front menu, a window comes up and says, hey, have you tried Hogwarts Legacy? And you can just, like, press X to make it go away. But it's like, why are you advertising Hogwarts Legacy on my Mortal Kombat menu? Mm. I don't really like that. So, again, that's not, in a sense, that's not new. Like, there have been games over the years where when you get to the front menu, various bits of things pop up. Although it tends to be community news rather than ads.
I think, like, Borderlands 3 on the home screen had, like, a little square that was like, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands trailer out now.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing, which I think kind of makes sense because they're advertising their new product in the franchise.
Yeah.
But that's a bit different when it's, like, a completely different franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And the only common denominator is Warner Bros.
Yeah. But then also that wouldn't be a money-making scheme, would it? Because Warner Bros. Aren't paying themselves to advertise that game. That's just them saying, we've got this other product. Whereas here we're talking about, you know, Xbox are trying to work out ways to monetize products or monetize games. So you're going to have, like, third-party people wanting to advertise within Xbox products. So
my thing as well is, like, the way that they keep saying, oh, we're looking at ways to monetize games. I'm like, hun, then get rid of Game Pass, because games are already monetized, and then you introduce a platform that where you pay £10, you can play however many games you want to play.
Well, this is exactly what I was going to say. Like, the one, to play devil's advocate, I can understand why they feel the need to further monetize their model, because we've talked for a long time about how it surely can't be making a lot of profit or profit at all. And I know, I remember we covered a story months ago now where, like, the revenue of Game Pass had been reported. Like
2 million or something.
And it was like really high. And people were saying, look, see, Game Pass is clearly like making a lot of money. And it's like, no. Revenue is not profit.
Yeah.
They could very much be making a loss on that for all we know. Mm. And I don't think we have the figures to know exactly what Game Pass is doing in terms of its finances. But it surely is not a huge earner for them and may well actually be a hole in the pocket. So I can understand why they feel the need to look at like other revenue streams, but you can't help but worry how this is going to be implemented, particularly advertising, you know, like, I don't know. It's worrying.
We've said in the past, like, that Game Pass is a unique thing and it's all very new and there's new ways of kind of how they're going to adapt to it, what's going to change. And that's very much still the case of they're still figuring it out at the same time as like we're finding new things out about the service.
Yeah.
So as much as I mean, it's a big hard no. Do I want this? Absolutely not. Mm. Would I be encouraged to cancel my subscription to Game Pass if they were like, also you have to watch adverts to play the games? Mm. Potentially.
Yeah.
But like you say, I already pay £10 a month and I have done for about 4 years now, or however long Xbox Game Pass has been out. So, you know, that's a lot of money I've given them over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I know that probably in the grand scheme of things, I probably would have spent a similar amount of money on the games themselves and potentially a console. However, I just don't think it's right. And again, it comes down to greed. It's just, how much money do you need?
Yeah.
Xbox. Do you need to put advertisements in your game? I don't think you do. I'm just going to say it.
Certainly Microsoft as a whole entity, you know, like with Xbox and then all of its other branches, Microsoft is fine for money, I'm sure. It's just whether, you know, Xbox itself is, you know, maybe needs to increase its revenue a bit.
I know that capitalism is popping off, but can we just let us live for like 10 minutes without having to watch an advert?
That's the thing, like, as well, things like, you know, Netflix now talking about adverts. I can't say I've seen any. I don't know if they've been introduced yet, but there's been talk for a long time, I think, about Netflix introducing ads. And it's like, well, I pay a fee to use your service already. YouTube has ads and you can pay for premium to have no ads. At least that's, you know, the free model has ads and you pay and then you don't get the ads. That's a more reasonable model. But have you also seen recently that YouTube is locking higher bitrate playback behind the premium model?
No, I have not seen that.
I was watching a video the other day and I was like, oh, it like auto gone to like 360p because I think my internet like had briefly chugged. So I went on the cog to put it onto like 1080 and it had 1080 at the top of the list. And then above that, it said 1080 and then in brackets, high bit rate. And then it had premium written on it. I was like, what is that? And it was a kind of a weird video I was watching at the time. And I was like, maybe there's something about this channel that I don't know. So I just kind of just sort of shook it off. But then the other day on Twitter, I saw someone reporting that like, oh no, this is a new thing that YouTube are going to do, where you get higher bitrate playback for paying.
That'll be the next thing on Game Pass. They'll be like, if you want to play your game
in 60 FPS,
you have to give us £10.
So that's the worrying state of things now, is, you know, you've got someone like Netflix trying to like put ads in, you've got YouTube charging for bitrate, you've got Xbox saying they're going to put ads somewhere in the game, in your game experience. I don't know how, they've not elaborated. We don't know what time slices are. People just seem to have their hand out everywhere they go. And, you know.
Yeah, it does feel like that at the moment.
Yeah.
And we've got no more to give.
No.
Microsoft,
there's literally
please.
A cost of living crisis.
We're in a cozy lives. We cannot afford
cozy
this.
Cozy lives, no.
Well, so let us know what you think. If what you think the time slices are going to be. Would you still be up for supporting Game Pass if there's adverts all over it? Let us know in the comments below. We'd
like
to hear your opinion.
I'm sure it'd be the same for anyone who was answering that question, but all we really did was speculate on, like, I don't know what the new in-game advertising or time slices are. Shrug. That's all we could do.
But we don't want them.
No.
Shrug.
Whatever they are, we don't want them.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Now on to something a little bit peculiar, a little bit strange.
And a bit new.
Yeah, it's weird news. Mm.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's weird news time. It's time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can guarantee that your name is read out on this podcast by becoming a podcast producer. You can, of course, chance it and maybe get your name read out if a question is submitted in our question
or
post. But
if you reply to the post that goes out on Twitter and Facebook with a weird news, you might get read out on the weird news section if we pick your news. However, there's always a guaranteed shout out. For these folks,
yes.
Our podcast producers.
That's right.
Just like
Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Nicole Hansen.
Duncan Wilson.
Katie Garrod or Jared.
Ellie Nicholas.
Nexus Polaris.
Melody L. Bonet.
Blake Thomas.
And Gabrielle Philippink.
Thank you, podcast producers. The other way, of course, you might get your name read out is if you do a bit of commentary on... I don't know if you've done it this week.
I have.
We also ask for your thoughts on what we're going to do for the big discussion. So
yeah, it was new and I feel like it's going well. So if you see the post go out on normally on a Wednesday with a question like, do you think that accessibility is a problem? And you reply with that, something useful, not just the word garbage or junk or trash.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll get your name read out in the big discussion as well and your opinion.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that a little bit later on.
But
in the
podcast
meantime,
producers, it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
100% of the time.
Mm. I've got a weird news here that was sent by Stephen Skodes at sscodes8 on Twitter. It's written by Ollie Reynolds at Nintendo Life.
Random!
Zelda devs reveal which Link they think is the stinkiest.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Subheading, Poo-wee.
I think, what was the one I was thinking of? The one with the snotty kid in it.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the stinkiest Link.
Right. Is that... I'm trying to think.
I can't really remember what one that is, though. Was it the Wii game?
Yeah, it's the one where they changed up the art style.
Is it the wolf one?
Is it the one where you sail around? Does it become a wolf? I don't know.
I don't know. I'll Google it. Hold on.
Right. I know the one you mean, though. The snotty kid.
Yeah.
We often found ourselves wondering a lot of things about the Legend of Zelda franchise, and... I should say we have often found ourselves wondering a lot of things about the Legend of Zelda franchise.
Wind Waker,
yeah. And more specifically, its main protagonist, Link. Which Link is the strongest? What does he do in his spare time? Just how long does he really sleep? What we've never really considered, however, is which Link is perhaps the stinkiest. We're almost certain that no version of Link smells absolutely perfect, considering the strenuous exercise he puts himself through in each game.
It wasn't the one I was thinking of, anyway. Okay. I'm going to find the one I think.
But as for which is the absolute stinkiest, that's frankly lost on us. After a TikToker decided to rank the Links according to how badly they smell, however, Wired decided to question longtime producer Eiji Aonuma and Tears of the Kingdom director Hidemaro Fujibayashi on which Link is the smelliest. I hope I did okay there, everyone. Aonuma perhaps rather predictably, went with Link from Breath of the Wild and presumably Tears of the Kingdom, stating that the barbarian armor in particular would create some rather unpleasant odors. Fujibayashi, however, went with Link from Twilight Princess.
That's the one I was going to say. That was the one I was thinking of with the wolf. That's Twilight Princess.
Stating that not only does Link dig through dirt and run through dungeons as a wolf, but also spends a good deal of time getting physical with the Goron tribe. Quiet there in the back, it says.
I think that he'd smell like wet dog.
Yeah, he might.
Because he becomes a wolf and then he becomes not a wolf. I think he'd still smell like wet dog.
Well, I've got an actual quote here from Fujibayashi. This is official opinion on Stinky Link from Zelda developers. There are some scenes in Twilight Princess where Link engages in sumo wrestling with the Goron tribe. I imagine he's pretty smelly in that situation. At least we can tick this off the list of things to ask Aonuma and Fujibayashi in the future anyway. Perhaps we could think of something else in the meantime. Like, where the heck are all the toilets in Skyloft?
Good question.
Which Link do you think is the stinkiest? Have you ever considered such a ludicrous question? Share your thoughts with a comment below.
I wonder what the TikTok said was the stinkiest Link. I just think Twilight Princess because I think he'd smell like wet dog.
Yeah. That's more like opinion. Twilight Stinkcress, stink, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Good one. Zing!
I'm looking at seeing if there are any good takes in the comments.
Who do you guys think is the stinkiest Link?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Oh, Matroska says, the subtitles of this article should have been Majora's Musk.
That's
quite good. Yeah.
That is good.
Don't forget Stink's Awakening, they say.
Yeah, that is good. I have some weird news. It was submitted by Amy Wicks and Paul Ansell on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Slightly different submissions of the, like, who wrote it.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's the same story. This one's from IGN, written by Anthony Wood. A neighborhood in Las Vegas has its streets named after Pokemon. Just taking a stroll down Jigglypuff Lane.
Oh.
Streets in Las Vegas are being named after famous Pokemon, including Jigglypuff and Squirtle, as developers struggle to come up with fresh titles to christen the warren of new streets springing into existence around the ever-expanding city. It's really, really hard to name streets in this town, says Harmony Homes LLC. Construction manager Andrea Miller, in an interview with the local TV station KLAS8 News Now. God, that's a long name for a TV station. And reported on by Polygon, according to Miller, a developer must submit two names for every street it creates in order to ensure that each one has an original name, at least within the confines of the city. With the amount of streets being developed by in the burgeoning Las Vegas city, and the amount that amounts to a lot of names. Thankfully, though, Miller's kids play games and were kind enough to point in the direction of a plentiful wellspring of inspiration in the form of Pokemon names. It's also worth noting that all the names used to date, including Squirtle and Snorlax Lane, are taken from Generation 1 Pokemon. This means two things. One, Miller and or her kids are people of impeccable taste, and two, there are many hundreds of street names left in the inspiration bank. When I hear Jigglypuff, I giggle, said Miller. When you're coming home from work and you've had a bad day and you have to turn on Jigglypuff Lane, that will make you smile. This isn't the first time that Pokemon names end up in unusual places. Back in 2021, scientists named three newly discovered species of Australian beetles after legendary bird Pokemon due to their rarity.
Would it make you smile if you had a bad day, or would it be like a slap in the face? If you've come home and you've just been like, made redundant or something, and then you have to turn into Jigglypuff Lane.
And then your sat nav says, take a left on Jigglypuff
Lane. I'd be livid. Also, Nintendo are well known for suing the crap out of people. I mean, I guess it's the Pokemon company technically who own the rights.
But would they be able to? Because, like, I guess they might have copyright on the names, but surely if it's like a non-competing business.
Yeah, but
like, if it's just, okay, they're not making any money off it.
Well, it's like, yeah, there's a slight difference between like copyright law and trademark law. And I don't know. I don't know if you could, like, for instance, if I had a charity.
I'd be happy about it.
I couldn't necessarily just call it whatever I want. I couldn't call it, you know,
Jigglypuff,
the Zelda charity or something. Like, well, I probably could say Zelda because that's just an actual name. It was Robin Williams' daughter, for example. Mm. Although she was named after Zelda. But so I don't know. But I'd be worried about picking a Nintendo adjacent franchise.
Yeah, but I also feel like the woman whose kids were like, oh, you should call them Pokemon. I don't feel like she'd know about that.
No, probably not.
And also, I feel like Nintendo would have immediately been aware of this and straight away done something about
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they've got a legal team who probably reached out to Nintendo and said, please, can we do this? And they may well have got their blessing.
Or they haven't, and they'll read this IGN article and they'll all get the names changed.
All the street names are going to have to be changed. And they'll be, what would you replace it with if they had to do some other gaming thing?
I'd call it, oh, that's a good question.
Because you need something franchise? With like a bank of like loads of things.
And you can't do Nintendo because they'll sue you.
No.
What about, what's the like Digimon? I just think them after Digimon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monster Rancher, I would pick.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Okay, great.
Well, it's time now for something quite large. Something quite substantial.
Yes, substantial.
Substantial.
That we're going to discuss.
Yes, it's time now for the big discussion.
Big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion. Ashton just said the word Subway in the interim that was cut out, and now I want my lunch.
Yeah, I'm quite hungry now.
Thank you to Lazy Som or Lazy Som for submitting this question. That PlayStation showcase was great. What are you most looking forward to? Alternatively, that PlayStation showcase was terrible. What do you wish they had announced? This question was submitted before the PlayStation showcase.
It was. There was quite a lot of people getting in there like on Monday when the question would be like, so the PlayStation showcase was good/bad. Mm-hmm. What did you think about it?
Yeah.
But I just liked the simplicity of Lazisum's question there.
I also like the question, you know, the extra bit of question, like what do you wish they'd announced instead? Because we were trying to think about that before we went, or as we
what
were going
we would
live
like
yesterday.
To have seen,
I couldn't think of anything. But then since then, I've thought maybe it would have been nice to see a Naughty Dog thing.
It would have been. We thought Factions might be there, but it wasn't.
An Uncharted, like, kind of not reboot necessarily, but, you know, his daughter, Drake's daughter, could do an Uncharted game.
Before we get to chatting, would you like to know what the community thought?
I'd love to know, yeah.
Well, goody, because I've got a few for you. Aaron Bailey says, it was a great state of play, but a very mid-tier showcase. It also looks like PlayStation may be making a pivot to multiplayer games, since 90% of the showcase was live service multiplayer games, which I find a huge shame, since Sony is known for their single-player narrative-heavy games. As a PlayStation fan, I feel very let down and feel still very much in the dark about the future of PlayStation if this isn't the pivot they are making. Paranoid Dave said, Spider-Man 2 and Alan Wake 2 look cool, and Snake Eater Remake was a nice surprise. Everything else seemed like entirely forgettable filler. Robert Allshouse said, wasn't great, at least from a first-party point of view. No Factions, no Twisted Metal, no Bloodborne. New Spider-Man 2 was coming, looked great. Don't care about the streaming device. PSVR 2 had the best showing, honestly. Apollin said, wish we could have had more new announcement trailers of games like Final Fantasy VII Remake or whatever. Reborn, is that the next one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Tekken 8, GTA 6, Kingdom Hearts
4, good,
Twisted Metal, etc. But it was okay, maybe a 4 out of 10. If it was like a weird year with all these games coming out earlier, like God of War, Hogwarts, Hogwarts Jedi Survivor, etc. So what have we got to look forward to at the end of the year? Isn't much. And then lastly, Lord Brotovich said, there weren't really a lot of actual gameplay trailers, were there? A lot of not actual gameplay. So it probably remains to be seen how all of these games will turn out. The Plucky Squire looked the most interesting to me, but that isn't PlayStation exclusive as far as I know. All in all, probably a pretty average showcase as far as I can tell. Also, Godspeed to you, Ashton, for reading through the community post again. So, yes. And then there was another one basically from Nathan P. He said, Spider-Man 2 looked good. It's gone. It's disappeared. I don't get to read it. Sorry, Nathan.
It did, Nathan. Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, and I'm glad some indie hits are getting sequels. But man, the amount of time a game's title was followed by two in this showcase is pretty funny to me. The industry definitely knows there's money to be made in sequels and remakes.
That's true. I very much agree with the second comment in particular, which was like, you know, Spider-Man looked good. Snake Eater, all right, not for me, but other people were excited about
that. What a weird trailer
that
was.
Yeah, I did not expect it to be Metal Gear Solid until we literally saw Snake's face. We've got a list of all the games here. We can go through
them.
They're
not in order of what was shown and, you know, in order of from beginning to end, but they're pretty much everything that we saw. Should you want to go through them and see if there's anything you're excited for? Just quickly go through them.
Yeah, well, we'll start with Spider-Man 2 because that was the kind of the headline. It was the last thing that went out.
We saw a lot of that. What, like 15, 20 minutes of it? And it was all kind of from one mission, like it was like a big kind of set piece mission that you were doing. I was really surprised they showed the symbiote suit. Having like thought at the time, I was like, oh cool, but now I'm like, I kind of wish they hadn't shown that. I would have liked to have like seen that happen in the game? And I mean, we knew that Venom was in it, but
yeah,
I would have
liked
to.
If we actually knew, for like confirmed, that the symbiote was going to be in there. I mean, it's normally a given when Venom's involved, but Venom could have been going around, or he could have like infected someone else, or
yeah, exactly.
So we didn't know for sure.
Yeah, and then obviously at the end they were like, Spider-Man's acting weird.
Yeah.
And we got a look at Kraven.
Yeah, which again, I don't think was like publicly known. There
no,
might have been
rumors, but
yeah.
I don't think we knew that he was in it. When we first watched it, they were like, now on something really exciting. And then it was some guy in the jungle. And we were like where's
this?
Spider-Man?
Is it Turok? What's happening?
Yeah,
but it was Kraven.
It was Kraven. But we saw quite a lot of it. I didn't like the HUD. And I've said this a few times. I think that they'd put the HUD. I don't know if they'd made it bigger for the showcase or they'd like put it over the top as a video, because half the time some of the HUD was like going over the edge of the screen border. And
weird.
I was like, this is weird. I don't know what this is about. So I don't know if they've just put it on there to be like, look at all of the different options you have kind of thing. But they've showed a bit of gameplay in the like fighting and traversal, and that all looks, you know, standard from what we know of the games already.
Got the wingsuit, got some new powers. I haven't actually watched it back since last night when we watched it live, but did Miles at one point go not just invisible but like not like turn into a ghost? Did Lizard like swim through him completely?
No, he went invisible.
He just went invisible and swam away. Right, because I was gonna say, like, at the time I kind of missed it and I was like, did he just like become nothing? And then how do you do that with even with science?
Yeah, but I really like that they kept calling each other Spider-Man.
Yeah, they both have to call each other Spider-Man when they're in like public, because later on he did call him Pete like briefly when no one else was around, but it's normally like, Spider-Man, catch this.
Watch out, Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
But there's a new area of the map as well. You can go to Queens across the river, which is exciting. There's like you can swap from one to the other. Obviously, I think that won't be, I don't know if that'd be constant. I think maybe that will be, you play as one and then you swap to the other one.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a bit time, like GTA. Might be that, in the downtime, you might be able to just switch between the two of them whenever you like. You made a good prediction that Spider-Man, like Peter Parker Spider-Man might be the boss or one of the big bosses at the end of the game.
Yeah, you have to fight him at
Miles
the end.
Might have to fight him. Yeah. That could well happen. So yeah, it looks good. It's kind of, it's what I expected for the most part. I mean, obviously they revealed some things that we didn't know about, but it's exciting.
I'm still not convinced it's coming out this year.
But yeah, I was about to say, they're saying due fall 2023. I mean, that's not that far away. And you'd think by now they would have a date in
mind.
At least
a month.
Yeah.
Like October or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just not convinced it's coming out this year. I just feel like that's like the most we've seen of it. We only had like a little teaser trailer, which you could tell because everyone's like promo stuff was the same image of Spider-Man. I'm not convinced. I think it's going to get delayed.
Yeah, it could well do. I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Which is fine, but hey, just tell us.
Yeah.
Just let us know, babe. Just
let us know. Don't let us down. Tell us now so we can get prepared.
Yes. And then they announced Metal Gear Solid Triangle, or 3, Snake Eater remake, which is coming in also fall 2023.
Yeah. It was, they've said after the fact that they chose the Delta symbol because Delta stands for change while maintaining the original structure.
Yeah. But I don't know what the Delta symbol looks like, because I'm not a nerd, so I just thought it was a triangle.
Metal Gear Solid Triangle. Snake Eater.
Yeah.
I'm not a big MGS fan necessarily. No, I like the first one, like way back on the PS1, and that's the only one I ever played. But a lot of people are really into this. Social media's gone wild about Metal Gear Solid, so that's great for everyone who's into that.
Yeah.
And I hope it's a good time for
Ben's
all of
excited,
you.
So if Ben's he was excited. Here, he'd tell you that he's really excited for that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, he would.
They also announced Project Q, which is their like little handheld, portable like streaming device, which, as much as that sounds good, is you have to have the game installed on your PlayStation 5. It has to be on, and you have to have decent enough Wi-Fi to be able to connect to the Wi-Fi of your home console and play it, basically streaming it from there. So essentially it's just like a Chromecast for your PlayStation 5.
So you just turn your PS5 on and then you can like get into bed or something. It's like literally just for the convenience of not playing specifically where you currently have your PlayStation like wired up. So
it looks like a interesting bit of kit in terms of like the technology. You know, I like the way it looked.
Yeah,
it didn't look too bulky. Like I think this Steam Deck is quite bulky, I think. But maybe this one, well, we've only seen the like concept of it so far, but
it's literally like a Switch screen with like two halves of a DualSense controller. Yeah, and apparently it has all of the features of a DualSense, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I guess the good thing is that at least this probably lays enough groundwork. It has all the hardware required for them to eventually like double down and have it so that you can stream the games like sort of from their end.
In the cloud,
yeah. Yeah, like cloud gaming, essentially, yeah. So at the moment, it's like, no, you're just streaming from your own console, but maybe one day you'll be able to take it on the go if you've got enough, if you've got a decent enough internet connection in like an airport or something, you might be able to just play PS5 games.
Because it's the thing that there's not, I don't think there's not enough public stable Wi-Fi for me to be like, well, I can just play on the train. I couldn't play on the train.
No.
You get spotty Wi-Fi at best on the train. That's so I wouldn't be able to play any PlayStation games on there. So
yeah.
It is, it's interesting whether, what kind of demographic it will fit for.
Mm.
Will it be another piece of kit that they abandon quickly after the launch? Maybe. Could also, be. They've got earbuds.
Yeah, it's got earbuds that come in a tiny little PS5.
Yeah, it does actually look quite cool. I kind of like that, but yeah. Then we also got a look at Assassin's Creed Mirage, the first full trailer, which I was surprised about considering there's a Ubisoft forward in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I would have thought that they just stored it till then, considering it's not a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah,
so
it was kind of strange.
It is interesting, though. It's a smaller, more focused game. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingies crossed, everyone. So hopefully for those of you who thought that, like, those of you and me who thought about how that was way too big, this might be a bit better.
Yeah.
A bit more of a recall to the old timeies.
Yeah, exactly. It's coming out on October the 12th, and it did feel more like a kind of a more traditional Assassin's Creed game. Like, Valhalla was great and still had all the gameplay mechanics you would expect, but it was set in cold England.
The whole of England.
Yeah, well, the whole of England, yeah. But, you know, like, it kind of the temperate climate we have here, whereas it's kind of nice to see an assassin wandering around somewhere that looks like it would be nice to go on holiday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
apart from all the murdering.
Well, yeah, all the murdering, but at least there's, you know, palm trees and stuff.
Yes.
So. Alan Wake 2. We had a trailer for that and a release date as well, October the 17th. We saw the character, I didn't actually catch her name, but there's like that FBI agent who you're playing as. Again, I'm not actually a huge Alan Wake fan. Mm-hmm. I think Ben is.
Yeah. I want to play the first one. Well, the remake that came out. It's still on my list of things to play. I just haven't got around to it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's nice to see.
Looks like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought it was Keanu for a moment.
Me too. I did as well.
But it's nice that, you know, we're even getting sequels for games that are, you know, of a certain age at this point. Mm. Sometimes you see a game like that, like Alan Wake, and you think, well, that's just never going to get a sequel now. Too much time has passed. But, you know, Alan Wake 2 is coming, so it's nice that these things do still happen.
It is. We've got another Final Fantasy 16 trailer. It's coming out like next month. If anything, it put me off more. I'm just not interested in it at all.
We didn't hear any Geordies as well.
No, there's no Geordies.
We were honestly for a minute like, well, this can't be Final Fantasy 16 because I'm not hearing anyone saying how weird.
There's no regional dialect in this at all.
No.
We didn't think it was Final Fantasy 16 for a while because it looked a bit different. Then I was like, no, he just said Ifrit.
Yeah.
This is definitely Final
Fantasy. Yeah, because I've not been following it that much because I'm not a Final Fantasy fan. But from what I've seen on social media going around, it just looked a bit more bright and colourful from what I've seen on Twitter, like compared to what we saw in the trailer. But
yeah, it's definitely more of a story trailer, but that's coming out next month. So
yeah,
get excited if you are.
I'm reasonably excited for Dragon's Dogma 2. It's based purely on the fact that I played the first one and enjoyed it. I think if I hadn't played that and I sat down and saw the trailer for Dragon's Dogma 2, I'd think this is just another semi-JRPG meets Western fantasy, like hack and slash fantasy third person game. You know, they're kind of tenner penny, and it's based purely on the fact that I liked the first one. But, you know, really, it's like a Monster Hunter or something like that.
Yeah. But that's coming out. Did we get a release date? Of course we didn't.
No.
We got like a little tiny snippet of actual gameplay, but the rest was all CG. So.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the whole vibe of this showcase.
Yeah.
We got a look at Bungie's new Marathon game, which originally, when the games came out in the 90s, was a single player like Doom style shooter.
Right.
But now is a PvP game without a single player campaign, because all Bungie are allowed to do is make online games.
Great.
And also from Bungie, we got another Destiny
yeah,
story pack thing. What are they called? Like, they're not expansion packs, but they basically are, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just like, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, extra
where they
chunks.
Just bringing back a character that they quite ceremoniously killed off and made a huge deal about like a few years ago.
Right.
And he was just back in the trailer.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I'm alive. He didn't say that. But I was like, that guy's dead.
It's a shame what you say about Bungie. You're right that like Bungie are only allowed to make online games now because this is the studio that brought us Halo Combat Evolved, which was an incredible game and had an incredible story, great characters, just like cinematic thing, especially for its time. And yeah, now they're just making like live service and PvP. And
at least they're being allowed to make something that isn't Destiny.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly felt quite good for them.
Yeah,
to see that this thing, I was like, oh yay,
good for them.
Spread your wings. Yeah. But you know, PvP game, I'm not that keen. And then we had another look at ST6's story mode.
Street Fighter 6. I was gonna say
what is this?
Sorry.
I don't remember this. Street Fighter 6, SF6 story mode ahead of its June release. We got the spray paint logo.
Yeah.
And,
Capcom.
Saw some, you know, characters with hair and stuff punching each other.
Yeah, lots of hair. There was a weird little green creature.
Oh yeah, there was.
So you were like, sort of that's my favorite.
Dancing
guy.
Around. I don't know if that's an established character already in the ST lore, as we call it, as fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've seen a lot of that now in various kind of conferences and live streams and stuff. So
yeah. The show opened with a game from Haven Studios called Fair Games with a dollar sign, like Kesha.
Yeah.
But there was
like
no
Kesha.
There was no gameplay or release date. It's supposed to be a competitive heist game, so it looks like it's on like an online multiplayer. You're trying to rob a bank. Someone else is trying to stop you or also rob a bank.
Okay.
It's what the kind of vibe is from them.
Right.
Again, we have no information about it other than that.
Just saw some glitchy camera stuff.
Yeah. It looked a lot like Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
For
a
bit. It was very Ubisoft. I was very surprised that they're not anywhere near it because it looked so much like basically every single one of their online games.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was sort of indistinguishable from various other things.
Mm-hmm.
Talos Principle 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Great. If you like Talos Principle, there's another one.
Here it comes.
How exciting. And then we had Square Enix's Splatoon-like shooter, and that's a fair comparison,
yeah.
Foam Stars, where we were like, are they squirting liquid around? This was before the foam arrived. We were like, is this just going to be Splatoon?
Because we thought it was like a hero shooter at first.
Well, yeah.
Because there was like a couple of characters, we were like, oh, what's this from Square Enix?
Yeah,
it was like neon
sort of stylized
and colourful.
And, yeah.
And then there was another, and I was like, it's a bloody flipping hero shooter.
And then they started shooting sort of water guns, and it was like, oh, so they've just literally ripped off Splatoon. And then it's like, well, yes, but with a difference.
But it's not paint, it's like foam.
And it like has an extra dimension to it, and you have lumps of foam that you can surf around.
Mm.
I'll be interested to see how this is received. This could go one of two ways. It could either absolutely crash and burn because it's basically just Splatoon, but
luckily they got all that foam, so they can put the fire
yeah,
out.
Right, sure. But, you know, perhaps might not be as good as Splatoon and therefore kind of fail. Or it's the kind of game I can imagine people going absolutely mad for and it becoming the next, not Fortnite, but, you know, the next Splatoon. That's a very popular game. Something like Splatoon what's the flipping football car game called?
Rocket League.
Rocket League. You know, that suddenly, like, absolutely took off. Maybe Foam Stars is the next big thing. Unlikely.
I don't think it is.
No.
Then we got another look at the Plucky Squire, which we saw last year during not E3, I think, or maybe it was Gamescom, one of the two.
Yeah.
We got a glimpse of it last year, and now another look at it. Still no release date. So,
which is annoying because it's one of the games that we actually were interested in.
Excited about.
Yeah.
I don't know why we've not got a release date. It feels like we've seen quite a lot of like what the gameplay style is. And
yeah.
No, obviously games take a long time to produce, but that's now two shows we've seen it at where no release date. So not even a year.
Yeah.
Not even a this year or next year.
No.
Still no idea. So hopefully that will get some more information about that in the coming few weeks.
I can't imagine it's going to be like a massive game though. It's probably only going to be,
it's a Devolver game and their games don't tend to be massive.
Yeah, so I'm surprised it's taking them as long as it is. But
yeah.
Don't know. We then had Phantom Blade Zero and it was grey.
So grey.
And a bit red.
Bit red.
There were some red candles.
And the red sword.
Yeah.
God, I was so uninterested in this game.
Yeah.
It's like Chinese martial arts. meets hack and slash meets Souls like. It's meant to be like hard. That's kind of the vibe that they've said. Is like, yeah, it's pretty challenging, which I read that and I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult.
I'm out on that.
It definitely had Souls like vibes in terms of there were a load of like bosses and stuff, and it had like a kind of a moodiness to it. But then it also, unlike a Soulsborne kind of game, it had a lot more speed to it. Like they were like running around and slashing like way more than you would expect from something like Dark Souls.
Peter said something quite correct in the sense of either doing this like mad combo of, you know, like weapon movement is either going to be mash square or a really complicated set of buttons that would be impossible to replicate more than once.
Yeah,
I just thought it would look boring, man. It just looked so boring.
I agree.
Then Ghost Runner 2 was announced for a 2023 release date, which I was quite surprised by because Ghost Runner, the first one, only came out like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel very old at all. And they were on a motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they were on a motorbike in the first one.
No, I don't think so.
So
I don't know.
Maybe they legally can't call it Ghost Rider. So they were like, it's Ghost Runner 2.
Yeah, true. We had a co-op action shooter, Helldivers 2, coming to PlayStation and PC this year. Which one was that?
It was the opening cutscene where the guy was like, does this ever happen to you?
Oh,
and it
yeah.
was like, we were like, oh, is this a sim game? What is this? And then it looked like that Space Marines or what is that other game called that's very similar looking?
Yeah, he put like some armor on and stuff. Yeah. He was trying to like get people to conscript, like sign up for some sort of defense force.
Essentially just a co-op shooter against big bugs.
Yeah,
big bugs. And Peter said, I'm not interested in it because it's bugs. If it was gorillas, I'd play it.
There's something about bug enemies that I just think like they just get very samey very quickly. Mm. And like if it was exactly the same frequency of like different types of mammals or something, for some reason I would be more interested, or I get bored less quickly. Don't know. Bugs are just boring. Then we had, it's your turn, Ashton.
We had from the developers of Abzu and Journey, we had a new like skateboarding sea adventure called Sword of the Sea.
Mm.
Looked very pretty, very interesting.
Very Journey, really.
Very Journey, yeah. So that, no release date on that one, but looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
Resi 4 Remake in VR for PSVR 2. I wasn't hugely surprised that this existed, but here it is. So you can now play through the remake of Resi 4 in VR, having perhaps just recently played through the original version of Resi 4 in VR and the remake of Resi 4 in non-VR.
You don't have to buy it again. If you've got it on PS5 and you have a PlayStation VR 2, when this releases, you should be able to play the VR mode without having to purchase any extra stuff.
That's good. I like that.
But it is tied to PSVR 2, so if you have a Quest you can play the original version in VR but not the new one.
Right.
So
well, there you go.
Sorry about it.
But yeah,
there was another Final Fantasy Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted. The first one of those came out on the PlayStation VR originally.
Mm-hmm.
Now the second one's coming out on the PSVR 2. I don't care about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, it's another one of those things where there's just a huge audience for it. Well,
Matt, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, people who are big fans of Five Nights at Freddy's are insane.
Yeah.
Like, they're fans on another level, which I just cannot fathom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've played Five Nights at Freddy's games before, and I'm like, cool, they're horror games. Why is everybody so obsessed?
Yeah.
But every single time there's any showcase, show new FNAF game.
Yeah. When it was, I don't even know if it was when it was first announced, but you know the first person one. Was that the original Help Wanted?
No, because that was a VR game. There's one that came out quite recently.
Yeah, that one.
But I don't know what
whatever
that's called.
when that was perhaps first announced, or they'd shown a new trailer for it at some event or something, it was trending on Twitter the day after. Mm. And I clicked on it because I was just looking at all the trends. And I've made the mistake of clicking on a Five Nights at Freddy's trend on Twitter because
there was lots
of sexy drawings of like weird robot like ducks and stuff, and it scared me deeply to my core.
It was scarier than the actual game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
We then had indie hit Grease. I think it's pronounced. You have to say it with like an accent. Grease.
the country.
Yeah, Greece. The dev team from Greece is making a pretty looking Never that's due out next year.
Yeah, it's all like painted and there was a wolf that died.
It wasn't gameplay footage, but I imagine it's probably relatively indicative of the art style.
People really liked Greece. So hopefully they'll also like this one. That's coming out next year, so got a bit to wait for that. Then we add Cat Quest 3, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Blink and you miss it.
Is coming next year. It had like a map, a bit like Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, where he was big, and then I think they were going into areas, and then they were doing like a little mission in a smaller area. Cat Quest has quite a big fan group.
Right. It's
very popular on Steam. So this, I'm sure, will sell pretty well.
It looks kind of cute. But
it did look pretty cute.
Not for me.
Lots of cats again this year. Always lots of cats, isn't there?
Yes. We then had we've also got Towers of Agasaba, we think.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very kind of nature-inspired game, bit Breath of the Wild-y, and by that we mean it was open world and had
and
a glider.
And there was a glider.
Yeah. And the voiceover was saying something about, like, you know, restore nature in our land or whatever. And
right up my alley, this one.
There was some crafting and building and survival mechanics and stuff. So, you know, one to watch, probably. Be interested to see more of this. But, yeah, it was good. It looked all right.
Yeah. Then, from the makers of Night in the Woods, is a game called Revenant Hill, which I don't think it's anything to actually do with Night in the Woods, but they had the same cat.
Yeah.
It's the same cat, but this one isn't a person cat. It's just a regular cat. And again, no gameplay, really. No more information than we're making a game. It's called Revenant Hill.
Yeah.
So.
Relink. Which one was that?
Granblue Fantasy Relink.
Fantasy Relink.
It was one of them animes.
Oh, right. Well, that explains why I don't remember
anime
it.
Ones.
Granblue Fantasy Relink out this winter.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even know what to tell you about that. It's one of the anime games.
I couldn't even tell you which one it was.
No.
Probably Swords.
That's gone from my mind completely.
Well, you said that there needs to be like a WeebCon where they play all of the anime games so that us regular people don't have to look at them.
That would be nice.
Ultros is a colourful Metroidvania. Peter said, it's like, that's a Metroidvania. And then went, I've got nothing to base that on apart from it's a 2D game.
Yeah.
But it is a colourful Metroidvania that is apparently out next year. Very bright. I don't remember much about this game other than it was very colourful. Mm-hmm. And there's another indie title.
Side-scrolling
so.
Thing.
Yeah.
We then had another anime game, Tower of Fantasy. So we've had Tower of Fantasy, Towers of Agasaba, and Grand Blue Fantasy Relink.
Yeah. Well, Towers of Agasaba is not on an anime
That wasn't
game.
The anime game, but, you know, there's
two
naming
towers,
crossover. Yeah. But, it was another anime game. You know our thoughts on those. Hey, if you're into these games, that's great. You've got a couple to look forward to, a few. And there's always like a new one being announced at every single event that ever happens.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're going to have game content to play for the rest of your life. But for us, we're not so
not
into
in it,
these sort of like JRPG and like anime style games. But
someone in the community post was like, I just really love anime games where the protagonist looks 9 years old but is actually 102.
Yeah.
Just very accurate.
That's it.
There was a couple of PSVR 2 games. I'll just bosh through these. Crossfire Sierra Squad, just a first person shooter but in VR. Arizona Sunshine 2, I think the first one was on the original PlayStation VR, and it's just a zombie shooter, bit like Dead Rising, you know, zombies.
Silly.
But it's funny. Synapse was this weird kind of almost super hot looking thing.
Yeah, it was a bit super hot looking.
And then lastly, they're adding Beat Saber to VR2 with a Queen bundle of songs.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It was Queen, wasn't it? I forgot about that. We then got we also got a CG announcement of Firewalk's Concord coming next year. That had some, you know, ships in it and stuff. Again, we didn't really...
It was just like a pan around like the hull of a ship and then...
Yeah, there was
the
a burger.
Concord.
And then Concord and someone was talking or saying something on like a recording or a radio, I think. We don't really know much about what that is, but it's coming next year. So I'm sure we'll learn a bit more about it in a few months' time.
Lastly, the last thing that was announced, again, this is not an order, but then there was also more gameplay of Immortals of Aveum, which is coming in July, which is a EA game that's like an FPS but magic. We did a few sponsored posts about them, so...
You have a hand, like a glove.
Yeah.
Magic glove.
Yeah, and there are people fighting over the magic, and there's no technology, just magic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that should be good. I mean, a lot of people have been looking for a good magic game.
Yeah.
Forspoken didn't quite... hit it for everyone, so maybe this is going to be what people really wanted.
I think it was quite a good call from, was it the first commenter said it was
good for a state of play.
If it had been a state of play, it would have been great.
Yeah.
But because for a showcase, for me, there was a lot of filler. I mean, that's partly just because of my own tastes. You know, there will have been some people who thought there's loads of really good games in this showcase that I'm really excited
for. But
there
was a lot of, like, everything. Like, there was kind of one of every type of game.
That's true.
Apart from anime games, of which there was a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, there wasn't really anything that was like, wow, can't wait for that to come out. Yeah. This looks great.
Mm.
And I feel like that's kind of been the case for a lot of the more recent announcements. Yeah. I think, like, it's been a while since, like, I think the last time I watched like a PlayStation showcase where I was like, wow, isn't this amazing, was I think 2020 or 2021 mm-hmm. when they announced like the PlayStation 5 and like Kena and the new Horizon and the new God of War. Like, that was just like hit after hit after hit, and since then it's been like, we've got one big game coming out and a bunch of little stuff that we want to just put out in the way. It kind of almost felt like they were doing this because they had to more
Interestingly, I saw the Xbox. Did you see what they tweeted after the fact? About half an hour after the show ended, I think, they put out a thing saying, look at this great group of games. And it was about, there was a lot. There was like maybe 15 games from that showcase that are going to be like multi-platform.
Yeah, most of them aren't PlayStation exclusives.
So they were saying like, look at all these games coming to Xbox. And, you know, trying to make the point that like, hey,
you saw like, them there, but they're...
Yeah, PlayStation Showcase was kind of rubbish because actually, you know, it wasn't. But, you know, I kind of think glass houses, like, don't start...
We've not seen your showcase yet, Xbox.
Well, and also don't, you know, the one thing that wasn't included, or, you know, a couple of things that weren't included on that list, one of them was Spider-Man, which is a great
Another
PlayStation
exclusive.
Another
was Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like Xbox, just sort out your own exclusives first before you start saying, look at all these games that are multi-format and Sony only have a couple of good exclusives. Like, maybe I'd like you to do the same thing. I want you to. I'm not trying to be like Sony PlayStation elitist about it either. It's just like, don't start saying, hey, you can play all these on Xbox. Yeah, but I can also play them on PlayStation and Spider-Man. So...
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it could have been a state of play, a first look at Spider-Man gameplay, state of play, and then a bunch of this little stuff could have upended it.
Mm.
Then they called it a showcase because it's getting to summer and they wanted to have a showcase out there before. I'm kind of annoyed they didn't just wait until like the E3 week.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't want to get lost in the old like the discourse about what everything will be coming out that week. And I don't think it would have maybe held a candle to whatever's coming. Potentially, they were like, it's not actually that good, so let's just do it a few weeks before. I think PSVR 2 is going to die very quickly. I think that this will be like a lot of games, and I think we won't get that many games for it going forward. There'll be the odd game, but I just am not convinced that they care about PlayStation VR 2 anymore at all. None of these games were particularly like platform selling. I kind of hoped that Half-Life Alyx would be announced for PlayStation VR 2.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I thought we'd get another look at Wolverine. We didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't confident that we would, but it would have been nice if we had.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even just another kind of teasery thing. Like, they wouldn't have had to show any gameplay, but, you know, if they've, like, at least got a story in their head now, they could have done a story trailer.
A bit more of a trailer would be nice, but...
And again, like, something from Naughty Dog would have been nice. Mm-hmm. There were some rumors, did you think, that we might have seen some Last of Us multiplayer.
Yeah, factions.
Factions, yeah.
And there was rumors of what Naughty Dog is working on next was apparently potentially going to be released as well. Obviously, we've got Summer Games Fest coming up in a few
weeks. Yeah, some of it might be holding
on to. So some
of
this might be waiting until then, which I think will be maybe a potentially bigger show, which is why people are holding out. A couple of these games I was quite surprised were here. Like I say, like the Ubisoft games, like Assassin's Creed, considering they've got their own showcase in literally like a month. So, yeah, I mean...
And that also explains why some stuff wasn't there. Like, for example, Tekken is a good call for a PlayStation event. You know, they've had a very close relationship, even though it is now a multi-platform franchise. But, you know, that's clearly just going to be something that Bandai Namco show off at, you know, in the next couple of weeks, because they've been revealing characters on that on social media for a while with like little tiny teasers. So they're probably going to put together a big proper trailer for it and put that out in the summer. So
yeah, but it's not got me necessarily jazzed.
No,
like I haven't come away from it like really excited, like hyped that I own a PlayStation. I'm excited for Spider-Man, and that's about the only game that is potentially coming out this year that I'm really interested in. The rest are kind of like...
And we already knew about it as well.
And we already knew about it. It's nice to get gameplay, don't get me wrong, but I already knew about it. So I'm not that like, wow, isn't that so exciting?
Yeah.
Because we'd already seen it. So, yeah, it was fine.
It was fine. I agree. What did you think of it, though?
Yes.
And everything else we've talked about today, you know, the kind of copyright issues and everything else.
Yes.
What was the other question?
Advertising in
advertising,
the gates.
Time slices. Let us know in the comments below and in various other places that I'm going to tell you about now. You can find us on youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. We stream on Twitch and never on YouTube except for special occasions like last night.
We may do some more when it's like not E3 time.
Yeah.
More reaction streams on there.
They may well be on YouTube, but generally week to week we stream on Twitch only. But videos on YouTube. And when we are streaming on Twitch, we are modded by Lord Brotovich, Trailing Badger and Mr. Black. And if you've got Amazon Prime, part of that bundle that you're already paying for includes a free Twitch sub. So you can just like spend that on us and get all the usual benefits. Mm-hmm. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump for video and live stream announcements, legacy video content, Twitch stream highlights of the week, bits of weird news put there by Fraser. Fraser's putting a bit more news on Twitter in the coming weeks as well.
Yes, I've seen.
So you can look out for that. Not always weird news. Just
excuse
like,
me.
That's right. Click. Bits of like normal news. Who was it? Kathleen Kat said, "I'm liking the new thing. Helps me keep informed about the industry." Well, Kat, you can follow us on Twitter, and Fraser will also help you stay informed.
He will.
TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump is where Ashton is posting TikToks on our behalf, and Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There are loads of different tiers there with all kinds of different rewards. Some of them are podcast related. Others are show related, and there's lots of things. So have a look at them and see if maybe they take your fancy.
We have a website, JJU.MP, spells jump, it's very clever. And if you want to join our Discord, JJU.MP/Discord. And on there, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they do something, they'll do it. All right. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, so I go JJU.MP/podcast and check out any of our live stream VODs that you may have missed, JJU.MP/VODs. To book a cameo from us two, Ben or James Jenkins, why not go JJU.MP/cameo? Maybe if you get one now, you might just catch Ben before he comes home from his holiday.
You might get a cameo.
You might get
France.
A French cameo.
Or he might not be checking his cameo. So
I don't know. Well, he asked for them for his birthday, so he might
true.
Be doing them.
Yeah, true.
If you want to buy some sick and cool merch, why not go to triplejumpshop.com, like the sports time jacket that Peter's got on.
Or the logo t-shirt.
Make sure you're following at Triple Jump Shop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements. You can follow me and Peter on Twitter and Instagram at @PeterRostin and @ScrambledAshton, and Ben just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
If you would like to check, what am I saying? Weirdest Games is monthly, a week early for patrons. Worst Games is fortnightly, Friday for patrons, Sunday for everybody else. After Dark podcast is on Monday. This Monday coming is an After Dark podcast. So if you're thinking to check it out, why not have a look-see?
We're just about to record it.
Yes, we are. And the podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? Helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. Some stuff coming out this week.
That's right. We, unless at the very last minute we get a brand deal, which I've been talking about, we may be getting it sponsored. And if we do, there might not be time to sponsor it until next week. But perhaps this weekend, Friday, in fact, every Valve game ranked from worst to best. It will hopefully be out on Friday. If not, it's good news because it means I've been trying to nail down a sponsor for it. So that's great. We've also got worst games ever, Police Chase Down. We, to quote Ben, we may have overcorrected given that last time the game wasn't bad enough in many people's minds. It's a bad one this time. It's a good episode. I enjoyed it. And Kieran was laughing a lot while he was editing it.
That's always what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just enough time then, Ashton, for you to read our sponsor.
It is. It is, of course, Lord of the Rings, Gotham, because they got you nerds and released a game that is not doing particularly well
got
on
ya.
The rankings. Got ya. Anyway, thanks so much for listening slash watching, everyone. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.